The chair calls the Education Policy Committee meeting to order for Wednesday, March 12, 2025. We do have a quorum. Representative Green, have you had a chance to review the minutes for Tuesday, March 11, 2025? There is a small technical error that our famous corrector found, but did you see anything else at all, our editor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did not see any other errors.
Thank you. So Representative Green moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it, and the minutes for Tuesday, March 11, 2025 are approved. All right, members, the first bill on the agenda is House File 412. Representative Myers, welcome to the committee. While you're ready, thank you for being very ready. And by the way, I apologize to the members of the public and our members, too, for the lateness here, but we should be able to get things done. The chair moves House File 412 before the committee. And Representative Myers, you have an author's amendment, the A3 amendment?
I do, Madam Chair.
So Representative Myers has an author's amendment. Members, we will adopt that amendment to put the bill in the shape the author prefers, and then Rep. Myers can present the bill as amended. All those in favor of the A3 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. So Representative Myers, go ahead and present your bill as amended.
Thank you, Chair Bennett. Thank you, Lee Jordan, members of the Education Policy Committee. Thanks for having me here today. You know, this is a bill, it's about, you know, observing, supporting our educators and our administrators in our schools. What this bill does, it requires members of an education policy or finance committee to shadow an educator, administrator, your finance director for a period of 12 hours over a two-year period. You know, this bill came to me from a lot of educators, community members, administrators reaching out asking, you know, what can I do as a newer legislator, because I had this last year, about amplifying the voice of teachers and the work that they do. And I thought this was, you know, an innovative idea to look at those opportunities for us to get in our schools. What I do want to say is, you know, thanks to several members, you know, on this committee and outside. This is a bipartisan effort. Thank you to Representative Faulkner, Representative Norris, Senator Mira, and it's also being carried in the Senate by Senator Swedzinski. The amendment that we did adopt here was something that I do want to thank Representative Clardy for pointing out at the last committee stop. You know, we do have people that sit on these education committees that spend a lot of time in our schools and work for schools. And so what that amendment does is change it to give credit towards those individuals, towards those 12 hours. I think we do have a few testifiers, and I know there's a couple amendments.
Thank you, Representative Myers. And members, we do have a couple of amendments which are in your packet, but first we're going to hear from our testifiers, then we'll consider the amendments after or before our discussion. So I'm going to ask the testifiers, when they do come up, to state their name for the record, any organization they represent, and if the testifiers could keep their comments to about 2 minutes, that would be appreciated. We'll start with Alex, is it Hoselton? Hoselton, thank you. Alex Hoselton and Scott Kroonquist, go ahead and make your way to the table, and we'll start with Alex. As soon as you are situated there, go ahead and begin.
All right, thank you very much. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Alex Hoselton. I'm a social studies teacher and member lobbyist for Education Minnesota this session. I'm testifying in support of House File 412. I think this bill builds trust between rank and file educators with the legislators serving on education committees. I bet a lot of you, if not all, have spent time in classrooms this biennium. At least I hope that's true. As a teacher, I want to trust that the very people who are making critical decisions have some hours in the classroom. I want legislators to see how I struggle to balance getting to every student in class and spend more time with the students who are struggling when I have 35 students each hour. See a co-taught classroom with the majority of students with IEPs. You routinely hear from superintendents speak to a variety of issues, quantitative and qualitative information will only help each member be a stronger participant on these committees. As I listen to superintendent's testimony, it's not that I doubt what they say, but sometimes what's left out, but maybe you hear a superintendent decry the cost of unemployment insurance, and then you learn from special education teachers you're observing that this was the first year that they had all their pairs return. Wouldn't your questions be better in committee knowing this? Maybe you think ethnic studies should be repealed, but you haven't seen how powerful it is to all students. What if you saw an ethnic studies course and how it's taught before making a decision? Last and not least, what if you observe a 64-year-old elementary teacher struggling to get off the reading carpet? Would you think differently about how important pensions are? I think educators would trust you more because you would have the documentation to prove it. If you can't credibly prove it, then educators will make the assumptions rightly or wrongly that you just don't know what we do. I appreciate your time very much. Thank you.
Thank you. And is Scott Kroonquist here? Go ahead and make your way to the table, Scott. And as soon as you're situated, go ahead and begin.
Got it. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Scott Kroonquist with the Association of Metropolitan School Districts and also speaking today on behalf of the associations representing the superintendents and school principals. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 412, and thank you to Representative Myers for sponsoring this legislation that really is the equivalent of establishing ongoing professional development for legislators. I know many of you, probably most of you, stay in close contact with your school board members, your superintendents, principals, teachers, and other staff. And I'm guessing many of you already spend 6 hours a year visiting your schools and meeting with your local administrators. In fact, many of you probably participated in the Minnesota Association of Secondary School Principals and Elementary School Principals Principal for a Day program. And if you did, you basically met the requirement right there. You know, in Minnesota, we like to think of ourselves as a local control state, but in reality, the decisions you all make and the legislature makes have a tremendous impact on our school operations and on our staff. Everything from classroom funding to facilities to maintenance financing for academic standards to licensing and much more are established by our state policymakers. We think spending 6 hours a year in our schools and our classrooms to engage with teachers and administrators and other staff to see the impact of these state laws is a modest request, especially when you consider that K-12 education receives the largest share, at least for a few more years, of the general fund budget, and is the only duty of the legislature specifically outlined in the state constitution. So I'll wrap it up there. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few remarks, and thank you again, Representative Myers, for carrying this bill.
Thank you. And then remotely we have, she's not in line. Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
All right, that ends our testifiers then for public testimony. So members, now we will take up the amendments, and we're going to first have the A1 amendment being offered by Representative Jordan. Representative Jordan, please present your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Myers, for both coming to my office to talk to me about this bill and for chatting with me further to work through it. So as you and I talked about, the A1 amendment is a friendly amendment, and this actually says that every member of the legislature needs to do this. This was something that came out of the, I watched the hearing that happened in State Gov. And through conversations with you and other folks, you know, this is the largest part of our state budget. We obviously have members who don't serve on education policy or education finance authoring bills in this space. And so I think it is important for every member, because we all vote on this, we all work on these issues, to observe teachers in our schools. So thank you for talking to me about this amendment, and I hope members can support putting it on the bill.
Representative Myers, any comments?
Thank you, Chair Bennett. Lee Jordan, thank you. Great conversation last night. I always appreciate your willingness to have conversations. And I appreciate this amendment, and I would ask members to support it. You know, very different tone and tenor here. I think we understand the impacts that we have, you know, you highlight that here in this committee from the previous committee. So I would ask members to support it.
All right, members, Representative Jordan renews the motion to adopt the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. Members, next we have the A2 amendment, also by Representative Jordan. Would you like to present your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for discussing this amendment with me as well, Representative Myers. This is one I was getting at to try to make sure that we were focusing on our schools. You know, when I first read your bill, I just wanted to make sure that members were actually spending time in Minnesota schools, especially our public schools that are funded by the legislature. But in talking to you, I think you were right in that this amendment is not needed, that your bill already accomplishes the goals of this amendment. So I will withdraw it.
Thank you. Representative Jordan withdraws the A2 amendment. So there being, let's see here. Let's figure out where we are. That's it for the amendments then. Okay. Any member discussion? Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Chair. So I don't like this bill because of a couple things. It's not that I don't think it's important for us to spend time in our schools. I do teacher roundtables. I'm a mom. I go to school. I used to work in the schools. Like I think that having relationships with our school districts are critically important. I have just a concern because this is being a legislator is a part-time job. Like I think we need to be very clear on that. I think there's a societal misconception that we get paid to do this year round. We don't. We're in session from January to May. And then many of us as legislators, I don't know about you, but many of us go back to other jobs because this is not a sustainable income for us to do full time. So we already get 20 days in our interim to be eligible for per diem, which means we as legislators can pick 20 days in the interim to go do the things in our community and meet with the people that we feel are critically important. I would hope that all of us are utilizing one of those 20 days to go connect with our school districts and learn. And so I guess, how are we going to pay for our time? Is it just assumed that we're going to utilize one of our current 20 days? Or every committee has a budget. The education policy, education finance has a committee budget that can take all of us out on a day to go tour schools and visit Jordan or Moorhead or Minneapolis or whatever schools we want to go tour and engage collectively together from a legislative conversation. I think that that's a tool that we could use. I think that's a tool that's based on each of our chairs. Every committee can do that because I don't think that teachers are the only individuals that we should be learning about. Parents are critical in this table. Students are critical at this table. Food service are critical at this table. So just telling us, forcing us, that we have to spend 12 hours with teachers and not parents, students. Like, I really sit at this table to be an advocate for the students. That's who I would want to spend more time with. And so I'm just, I understand where you're coming from. I think the intention is pure. I think as elected officials, it's our community that gets to decide if we've done the right job or not. And that means our internal relationship. So I don't like requiring us to spend time outside of the legislature to go do things. I think we have the 20 days to do what we believe is best in our lanes, in our space, in our community. The other piece about this is there's a financial component of mileage. How are we going to pay all of us? Because not everybody's school is like right in their backyard. Some of us serve greater geographic spreads. And so what if we want to get to all the schools? Who's going to then pay for mileage and what budget does that come over? I know we're laying this over. Is that correct? So that's saying that this is a policy only bill, but it feels as though there's financial obligation. Now, if that's the state financial obligation paying us or just a personal sacrifice that I'm supposed to make out of my time when I should be working my other job to go visit schools, just doesn't feel like something that we should be telling our legislatures what they have to do. So thank you.
Representative Myers, any comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Keeler. You know, some of the feedback I've received before, you know, in drafting this bill with nonpartisan staff, you know, this was something that allows for those per diem days. You know, I understand, you know, the concern. I have a job outside this too, and I've got, you know, four little kids and, you know, things that we have to pay for. But I think having that build in per diem is something that I think can cover it. And then just hearing from, you know, you talk about teachers and students and administrators, you know, getting into our schools and prioritizing those things, I think for, as Lee Jordan said, for something that's, you know, the highest part of our budget, is just making sure that it's a priority.
Representative Keeler, follow up?
Yep, thanks. So for clarification, you're assuming that we would just utilize one of our already 20 per diem days to go do this with schools. You wouldn't be adding an extra per diem day. So we wouldn't get 21 per diem days, one of those days being required to spend with education. You're
saying we should already use the 20 days that some of us already allot to do things in our community.
Representative Meyer.
Chair Bennett, yes.
Keeler?
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Green.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Myers, for bringing this bill. I love the sentiment of the bill. I have spent many, many hours as a school board member in classrooms and working, but I when I read it, I was hesitant, and that is because I know teachers get criticized a lot for their work in their classroom, and I want to know from this bill, like, do legislators just get to pick which class they go to and which teacher they want to observe, or how does that relationship work with the district, and how does that get selected? Because I'm concerned about that.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Green. To be honest, I got a lot of feedback from teachers, from students as well, that really wanted me to beef this bill up. More hours, more surprise visits, more stuff like that. I thought this was a good, reasonable, balanced way to start something to help amplify the voice. So that's why it took this type of approach.
Representative Green, follow up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I imagine that. I mean, I just want to make sure that it isn't where it's like there's a legislator who would show up and be like, by law, I get to come in this classroom and observe you, which I know out of intent, like we say, okay, that probably won't happen, but I can tell you in my district, we had school board members doing that, and we had to actually put a policy in place to say, you know what, we actually have to go through a process because you can't just show up and observe, especially with student data privacy and issues in the classroom. There's just so many other elements that go into that. So I 100% agree with the sentiment. I 100% believe everyone in this committee should be spending time in schools. That's, you know, so I'm not going to be impacted by this bill, but I just want to make sure that we are protecting our students, you know, privacy and our teachers in that respect. So, yeah, I don't know if we can build that in anywhere, but if this is being laid over, maybe there's some more conversation.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Jordan, did you want to make some final comments?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I really do mean thank you, Representative Meyer. It's good to talk to you about this bill on several occasions. And it sounds like we're going to keep working on it. I think everyone wants to get this bill right. Representative Keeler's concerns are real. One that she didn't bring up that I've heard from other members is childcare. You know, members do have a lot of child. We all know childcare is very expensive. There's a lot of members of this legislature on both sides of the aisle that are working on that. A lot of times legislators have childcare figured out for session, but during interim, they might not have that childcare piece figured out. So I think figuring that out is really important. But to just really underscore the importance of being in the classroom, you know, I really do think if more of the people running our federal government and President Trump had spent more time in classrooms, we wouldn't see the attacks that we're seeing on public education. So seeing bills like this where we can really make sure that we are having legislators and decision makers understand what our teachers and students are going through in their classrooms is really good. So I'm glad that we're going to keep working on this and happy to keep working with you on this. Thanks.
Representative Myers, final comments?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Bennett. You know, I think this bill has something for everybody. It's supporting our schools. It's amplifying the voice of teachers, paraprofessionals, you know, our administrators, you know, working with our finance directors. You know, it's a bipartisan piece. You know, at the end of the day, we're trying to build better and stronger schools and opportunities for our kids. And I think, you know, the best way to do that is learning from the boots on the ground. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, members, and thank you, Representative Myers. The chair lays over House File 412 as amended for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill or further consideration at a later date. Representative Bakeberg, you are up next. And Representative Bakeberg, I think we should just reserve a seat for you in this committee. You're like an extra jump seat or whatever we might call it. So welcome back to the committee. Let you get situated there. Welcome, Representative Bakeberg. The chair moves that House File 1435 be re-referred to the Committee on Education Finance. Representative Bakeberg has an author's amendment. It should be in your packets, members. We will adopt the A1 amendment to put the bill in the shape the author prefers, and then Representative Bakeberg will present the bill as amended. I believe this amendment addresses an issue relating to the standard adult high school diploma. So all those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the A1 amendment is adopted. So Representative Bakeberg, go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Ben Bakeberg. I have the privilege to represent the communities of Prior Lake, Jordan, a portion of Shakopee, and the surrounding townships. The goal of House File 1345 is twofold. The first goal is to create a new chapter of law for education innovation programs, and to provide, and the purpose of that is simply to provide clarity to school districts about current innovation statutes that are already in law that are frankly kind of all over. So very similar to what we did with House File 62 from an attendance standpoint. So an example of some of those are the experiential and applied learning for students statutes, and then the innovation zone statutes. The second objective of this is to put the planning and the decision making in the hands of educators, school boards, parents, and not the commissioner. So those are really the two goals, and that's what this bill does. Frankly, far too long, schools have struggled to adjust to the changing educational environment because our schools either didn't fully understand their options under current law with the flexibility they already had, or honestly, they were told no by someone within the department. And I could go into a laundry list of stories about school districts that want to innovate, and they were told, you can't do that. So House File 1345 has, just to be clear, there's no new spending. Given our budget, I think that's a good thing, and will not impact any current grant programs like the very highly successful PTEC program. That's a question that a number of people have reached out, and especially from the Rochester community, concerned about that. It does not impact anything, any funding-wise. It simply makes clear that programming that might have state grants available are a local option if the district wants to try the program through another funding stream. It would be great to have an allocation to support this. The reality of it is we don't. But first, we should make innovation a clear option at the local level. While having conversations about funding, they can do that at the local level. And then when we have a different financial picture, we could do that here, not in education policy, but in education finance. The amendment you adopted addressed a technical concern and a potential fiscal concern regarding the adult high school diplomas. I look forward to continued conversation in education finance. And also, Representative Clardy is here, and I look forward to collaborating with her on her bill that you're going to hear, I believe, next, that clarifies the state's expectation around instructional hours, since those expectations obviously play a factor when districts are trying to be innovative for their local districts. So with that, Madam Chair, I would move to testimony.
Thank you, Representative Bakeberg. And we do have some testifiers for the bill. I will ask the testifiers to state their name for the record and any organization that they represent, and also try to keep your comments to about 2 minutes. We will start with Akila Roberson. While you're coming up, Akila, I want to ask you, are you familiar with the movie Akila and the Bee?
I am.
I love that movie about this little girl with the spelling bee. It's one of my favorites, and your name reminded me of it. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and begin.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I am Dr. Akila Roberson, Policy Director at Education Evolving, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that drives transformational student-centered designs for learning. Thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of House File 1435. Dr. Mae Jemison, the first African-American female astronaut, once said, "The future never just happened. It was created. And innovation zones help to create enriched educational journeys with a promising future for our students." Education Evolving led a coalition of organizations and districts that advocated for the original innovation zones laws between 2012 and 2017. We support the concept of innovation zones and celebrate the transformations that they helped to produce. There were 6 zones created under Minnesota's 2017 law and 4 under the 2012 law. One example of an innovation zone is Tri-District Community Education, a partnership between the school districts of South St. Paul, Invergrove Heights, and West St. Paul, Mendota Heights, Eagan. This collaboration created and supported opportunities for students that included the Center for Advanced Professional Studies program, collaboration with businesses and community partners that enhanced and deepened the authenticity of the learning experience to stimulate and hone career interest. In closing, this provision allows district leaders to collaborate at a time when problem solving together is critical. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roberson. And now we have a remote testifier, Patrick Walsh. Patrick, are you on? Superintendent Walsh.
I believe I am, yes.
There you are. Go ahead and state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Patrick Walsh, superintendent at Belgrade Brutinel Rosa Schools. And during the last 7 years as superintendent at BBE, we have looked at innovation zones, the legislation, frequently. Unfortunately, when you contacted MDE, the program was fairly dormant. So those places that wanted to form innovation zones basically didn't have a process to do it. There was no sponsoring agent at MDE that was active in doing so, and they weren't taking anything other than the online instruction. So I believe this bill of opening up innovation zones certainly creates the opportunity for schools to think about innovation. And it is not surprising that I'm frequently amazed at superintendents and school districts that are kind of handcuffed when it comes to creating innovation. Once again, as Representative Bakeberg had stated, this costs nothing. There's no additional funding for it, and it is something that would be very helpful to school districts. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. And that completes our public testimony. Members, do we have any discussion on the bill? Lee Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Bakeberg, for this bill. I think it's an interesting bill, and I'm glad that we're discussing it. I guess I am curious, and I don't see anyone from MDE here. but I am wondering about what... whoever can answer this question can take it. But my question is how does this work now if a school wants to do innovation zones? We've talked a lot in the past about the Rochester PTEC program. My understanding is that's a Rochester program, but it seems like it's doing good things in Rochester schools, so maybe it would be good to see that in other schools. So for that example we heard from the superintendent, what does it look like now if a school wants to do one of these innovation zones? I would ask MDE that, and then I would say, my question would be, how does this bill change that and make it better for our districts? And that's just really my question. It's an honest question. I don't know.
Go ahead and state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Jordan. And I wasn't trying to hide from you, but that was the consequence. So as the testifier mentioned,
introduce yourself for the record, please.
You are. Spot on, Madam Chair. Thank you. Megan Adeola, Legislative Policy Manager for the Minnesota Department of Education. So the question that Representative Jordan, as I understood it, was how does this work currently when somebody reaches out about innovation zones, and then how it works when somebody reaches out looking to establish one of the other sorts of programs that are listed under Section 4. So currently, the Innovation Zone Research Partnerships that is correct, that there's not a direct staff member that oversees those programs. However, folks would write in and apply their, would send in their applications to the department. I believe this is part of our Career and College Success Division that reviews these applications. And it really just depends, frankly. Because of the Innovation Zones, because of the pilot program status, there was a little bit of confusion in the first few years of implementation. But particularly with some of the items being added to the statute, it really just depends on the type of program that they're looking to execute or the timelines they're looking at and the groups of students being served. So it's the very classic lawyer answer of it depends, and that it does depend on exactly what type of innovative programming we're discussing, because some of the ones that live in the amended language under 1435 exist in a couple of different spaces and just have different requirements to meet either state or federal or rule.
Lee Jordan, follow up. Representative Bakeberg, you want to say something?
Yeah, if I could, Madam Chair, thank you. I think, with all due respect, I think that's the frustration for schools right there, is it depends. And so how this typically happens, just in a school district, from my experience, so our school board will go to the MSBA conference in January every year. We have a board retreat that follows that conference, and our board members are brainstorming. Representative Green is kind of half smiling because she's had that experience where you see all of these amazing things happening across the state. You come back to your local district and number one, you realize that you don't have the budget to do all of those things. That's the bigger issue. But there are things that you can do that do not cost money. There are innovative programs that can happen, but the problem is it depends. And you have to wait. And you can't innovate and create and do what you want to do at your local district because the local district has decided that this is a need. This is a need that we have, and we heard about this program that happened, you know, that's happening in another part of the state, and we want to replicate that and make it to fit our community. One of the things that a former school board member used to say oftentimes in the community that I'm in is, it seems like education is this freighter, and in order to move something, it takes, you know, a seismic shift. But one of the things that this person used to talk about is they loved how, as a district, we were able to be a speedboat and navigate to meet our local needs. One of the frustrations is that it depends. The answers you get from the department is it depends. All this bill does is said we're going to empower the local school board to come back from their conference and make a decision that's best for them. That's all it does. I'll give you an example. Parent-teacher conferences. So we had an issue where our attendance at parent-teacher conferences was not where we wanted it to be. So because we were part of one of these innovation zones, we did something, we call it a flexible learning day. And we did this prior to COVID, where we have our 5th through 8th grade students stay home. And then we have a day of conferences from 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night, because what we were finding is that many of our families who worked shift work were never able to come to conferences because they were always from 3:30 to 7:30 at night. So we transformed how we did our conferences to have it from 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night. We should not have to wait for approval from the department to do what's best for our local community. That's what this bill does. That's the goal of the bill. And that's just a concrete example.
Lee Jordan. Thank you, Chair. You're the one who asked.
Yeah, no, I know. I feel like I'm interrupting the questions, but since Representative Bakeberg referred to me, so I thought I would respond just for a minute. But I do agree with what you're saying, and I think, you know, conferences, that's a great example. I know in our district, we actually we had an attendance issue, too, in getting to families, and we moved to all Zoom. And now they're 10-minute Zoom meetings where the teacher is in one spot, and it is incredible the amount of connection that you can have, but that is only able to do that when you can innovate. So I do appreciate this work and allowing some of that. So just want to respond to that.
Good comments. And it's good to hear these examples, and both are excellent examples of innovative things we can do in our schools. So, right. Lee Jordan?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I was actually going to ask, we keep saying things in programs, like what? And then we just heard two examples. So that was really my question, is the like a program could mean any sort of thing. I think it's an interesting idea, and I missed the motion if we're related to ed, if we're sending it to Ed Finance or laying it over. Okay, great. So, yeah, it sounds like an interesting bill. I think it's a good... I also like what you're getting at with some of these innovative, and I'm going to use that word too, programs for helping students. It seems like we can push it forward.
All right, Representative Bakeberg, or do you go ahead, Ms. Avila?
I apologize, Madam Chair. I did also just want to add for the record that this was one of the first things that Representative Bakeberg mentioned when we met with him when you first got elected. So I do want to just say that we are happy to be having this conversation, and we want to work on ideas and assess their viability. And of course, I want to just make a plug that we want to do this in the way that allows us to be with fidelity overseeing the taxpayer dollars. So work in the spirit of collaboration and partnership. We appreciate the conversation from this bill, and we look forward to continuing it, whatever form that may take. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Bakeberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. Thank you for a good discussion. And I think we all would agree that every one of our school districts is unique and different, and we should allow them the flexibility to be able to do that and moving toward making decisions as close to the classroom as possible. So that's really where it's at. I'm excited that we can put more faith in our local educators, because it's the reality of it is the needs of Pequot Lakes are very different than the needs of Prior Lake. So again, I look forward to working with Representative Clardy to continue and supporting her work. And I think we all can agree that our schools should have a rigorous and relevant curriculum. I believe this bill empowers our local districts to do that, to develop a rigorous and relevant curriculum to meet the needs of our students. So thank you, and appreciate the work.
Thank you, Representative Bakeberg. The chair renews the motion that House File 1435, as amended, be re-referred to the Education Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and House File 1435, as amended, is re-referred to the Education Finance Committee. All right, we are moving along here, members. The last bill on the agenda is House File 1607, which I think pairs well with the previous bill, House File 1435. So we'll have Representative Clardy join us. Thank you, Representative Clardy. And I'm looking forward to you and Representative Bakeberg working together, collaborating to make an awesome innovation bill here for our schools. I'm excited about that. So Representative Jordan moves that House File 1607 be re-referred to the Education Finance Committee. Representative Clardy, go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee, for letting me bring 1607 to you. The focus of this is to bring clarity and flexibility to the Minnesota education system by defining what hours of instructions is in secondary schools. This bill empowers districts to innovate by expanding what they can count as educational experiences, such as internships, service learning projects, and project-based learning, while ensuring these opportunities are supervised by qualified teachers and allowing students to earn academic hours. Importantly, this legislation does not mandate anything, but instead it gives a framework for those to explore, for schools to explore new learning opportunities. By focusing on secondary schools, we aim to equip students with personalized learning, personalized and meaningful learning experiences that foster engagement, which supports and reduces challenges that some schools are having, such as absenteeism. And there was a bill that was worked on by Representative Keeler and Representative Bakeberg that's undertaking this whole project. And I think this will be building on some of their work to help improve student attendance through engagement. And there's an immense amount of research out there that highlights the positive impact of offering students voice and choice instead of letting the teacher be the sage on the stage. And recent studies and surveys have shown that honoring students by providing personal learning environments increases engagements. So this chair, or Representative Chair Bennett, I'm really excited about the testifiers that are here today because they're the experts in the area. They're people that have gone through it. They're people that, you know, have the background and that can help frame this up. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Clardy. I'm excited to hear from them, too. So we have several testifiers for this bill. I'm going to ask the testifiers just a reminder to state your name for the record and any organization you represent, and also to keep your comments to 2 minutes. We'll start with Dr. Roberson again. Robertson, sorry. Wasn't there a Roberson, too? I think so. And Caitlin Snyder will be next, too. If she wants to make her way up, that's fine as well. So Dr. Robertson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. It has been a long time. I am Dr. Akila Roberson, Policy Director at Education Evolving, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that drives transformational student-centered designs for learning. Thank you for this moment to testify in support of House File 1607. This bill contains over a decade of careful conversations amongst educators, students, community members, and legislators. Earlier in this hearing, this committee considered House File 1435 and heard about innovation zones. As I shared then, Education Evolving was deeply involved in shaping and implementing this work. Sidebar, innovation is our jam. Of all the innovation zones applications that were submitted, the most commonly sought area of flexibility was around instructional hours. House File 1607 addresses this need that innovators identified system-wide. The leaders who created it, many of them are here today, sharpened the focus, flexibility in when learning occurs, providing students with an enriched educational journey, thereby thriving holistically. There are many benefits to students learning outside of the school building, day, and year. Practically speaking, students spend only 20% of their waking time annually in formal classroom education, leaving 80% of their time to explore and enhance their learning interest in non-school settings. With the flexibility of instructional time, there are a variety of programs or opportunities, such as internships, work-based programs, community service, and others that schools can utilize to engage students in any time, anywhere learning. It's time for Minnesota to be a state that prioritizes learning outcomes and results rather than passing time in seats. It's time to evolve our law. In closing, I leave you with the words of Mary McLeod Bethune. I leave you hope. I leave you a thirst for education. I leave you respect for the uses of power. And finally, I leave you a responsibility to our young people. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have Caitlin Snyder next.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Caitlin Snyder with Education Minnesota. I would like to thank Representative Clardy and a couple of other folks for their dedication to this bill. I think this is our fifth time talking about this at the Capitol over 5 years. Thank you, Dr. Lucy Payne, for your work. My members are strongly supportive of project-based learning, of service learning. But if you think of the academic system as a surgeon, there are some vestigial parts of our system that are duplicative, and there are some things that are duplicative, like having a second kidney. So when we look at how our academic standards overlap with our credit equivalencies, overlap with our seat time requirements, some of these things can be tinkered with without too much fallout, and some of these things can't be tinkered with without raising some bigger concerns. So I appreciate that this bill is focused on making sure that our schools that are engaged in project-based learning and service learning can fulfill their mission and continue providing the academic supports that our teachers want to provide to our students. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Next, we have Renee Cornille. If she could make her way up. for Renee. And then Jose Perez. Is Jose here? Great. Renee Cornell, go ahead and begin.
Thank you, Chair Bennett, and committee members. My name is Renee Cornell, and I'm the superintendent at St. Anthony New Brighton Schools. I'm testifying on behalf of our district, AMSD, Engage Minnesota, MASA, and all the other acronyms that support education in the state of Minnesota. I appreciate this opportunity to testify in support of House File 1607, Hours of Instruction. This change will empower our students. Before I kind of get into the meat of the law, what we'd like to change, I want you to think about this. How many times do people come to Minnesota to visit you, and they're not from Minnesota? Where do they want to go? Target or Mall of America? They want to go to the mall. Both are created here in Minnesota. But you can get a dress at the mall, and you can ride a roller coaster. The options are endless. In Target, it's contained. And what we want to do with this bill is to not contain our students' learning. So as a superintendent, I get to oftentimes spend time with our students. And what they want is agency. They want to be engaged by choosing parts of their path toward learning. Right now, the only way a student is allowed to learn and earn credit is by sitting at a desk from 8 to 3 and they, I don't know if you know, but 1900 called. They want their structure back. So learning, again, does not need to be contained. So House File 1607, it defines instructional hours, which is not actually currently defined in statute. The term instructional hours is actually used 8 separate times in the state's education code. For example, Minnesota Section 120A.41 establishes hours of instruction requirements for students in all grades, but does not define the term. This has led to a lot of confusion for districts and how we go about doing our work. Also, this bill defines educational experiences. The bill defines them as any secondary course created by the local school board. It also states that these experiences may take place outside of the school day or week. This bill also ensures student protections. All children will continue to receive their state and federal supports. Some might be wondering, don't we already do this? Yes and no. I think we heard from our colleagues at MDE, which we love, but that it depends. Sometimes it can work and sometimes it doesn't. And what we are trying to do with House File 1607 is to make sure that we're doing things right, and MDE within the bill says that they can come and do some they can come check on us. They'll do some audits. So in summary, House File 1607 provides school districts with options, but it doesn't require any district to do anything different, but it does allow those districts that do want to. And so I hope you all take and create a positive action on House File 1607. Our students really need us to provide them with these options. So, thank you.
Thank you. And Superintendent Carney, I apologize for mispronouncing your last name.
It rhymes. It helps. Yeah.
All right. Jose Perez, bienvenido. And I don't know how to say committee, or I'd say welcome to the committee, but go ahead and begin.
Well, neither do I, so maybe we can find out together.
You said C first, so I figured I would welcome you in
Spanish. I can get just enough. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. My name is Jose Perez. I'm 24 years old, born and raised in the east side of St. Paul. And I'm here in the capacity of an engaged, concerned citizen. I get the blessing of working with and supporting many young people from the Twin Cities who, like me, have struggled finding motivation and purpose within a conventional schooling system. I'm here today because House File 1607 presents an opportunity to remove bureaucratic barriers that prevent schools from modernizing how learning happens. Too many young people in Minnesota, particularly those from underserved communities, are disengaged from school because traditional models fail to meet their core needs. I know this firsthand. I grew up as the son of an immigrant mother from Guatemala, navigating poverty, dyslexia, school failure, including first and ninth grade, and even having justice system experience, and not the internship kind, the type where you're making big boy decisions. And it wasn't until I went to the High School for Recording Arts when I got to turn my artistry into activism, and got to actually get learning that was hands-on, that was relevant, built around my strengths, my passions, and I managed to graduate. Unfortunately, there's a lot of other young people that aren't as fortunate as I am to find High School for Recording Arts. Right now, Minnesota's outdated definition of instructional hours prevents schools from offering more flexibility, real-world learning opportunities that could actually keep young people engaged and motivated. House File 1607 would clarify this definition, allowing schools to expand learning beyond traditional classroom model without reducing oversight or funding. This is critical because when young people don't find purpose in school, they find it elsewhere, on the streets, in unhealthy online spaces, or disengaging from education entirely. I think that fancy word is absenteeism or something. We know that learning happens in many ways, not just through lectures or seat times. Young people thrive when education is relevant, whether through internships, project-based learning, or community-driven education. House File 1607 would empower schools to design learning that meets students where they are and prepares them for where they want to go. Minnesota has a history of leading in education innovations, policies like open enrollment, public charter schools, post-secondary enrollment options that have expanded opportunities for students. But if we want to continue that legacy, we must ensure that outdated definitions do not limit the next generation of learning opportunities. We face an urgent crisis of student disengagement, chronic absenteeism, teacher burnout. This bill won't solve everything, but it's a really good step towards the right direction. It removes bureaucratic roadblocks and gives schools the flexibility to do what works, making learning more engaging, adaptable, and centered for the student. I urge you to support House File 1607 and deeply appreciate the leadership from Representative Keeler and Bakeberg for demonstrating that Minnesota at our best requires a commitment to our young people, regardless of how that looks like. So thank you so much to Representative Keeler, Bakeberg, and to the committee.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Sarah Bakia and Keith, a senior at Camden High School. Go ahead and make your way up. We'll start with Sarah Bakia, and I'm probably messing up your last name. I apologize. Go ahead and introduce you for the record and begin.
Hi, I'm Sarah Bakia. Yes, lovely to meet you. Thank you, Madam Chair Bennett and members of the committee. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Sarah Bakia, as stated before. I am a 2024 graduate from the Minnesota Public School Education System. I am here because I believe that the House File 1607 will help young people be better prepared for our future and clarifying and defining what a district means. In December of my freshman year, my mom passed away, which was devastating to me. As a freshman going through it, I was going through depression, but I also managed to find a group called Girls Taking Action, which brought me back to my feet. Girls Taking Action is a program that taught me professional work skills, such as communication, organization, tech, and other essential skills for career readiness. I wasn't able to engage in the school regular system because I had lack of motivation, but Girls Taking Action rejuvenated me and brought that spark back. It was a hands-on curriculum that was not taught by teachers, but taught by community members. They instilled power, paid sponsored internships, and also several other experiences that we were able to go on. Girls Taking Action did not earn me a credit towards graduation, but they did save my life. They prepared me for success and bettered me as a whole. At the end of my junior year, I found out that I wasn't on track to graduate from the classes that I had missed after losing my mom. But as many other students, such as I was
transferred to an alternative school that had flexibility. Due to the flexibility at the alternative school that I attended, I was able to graduate on time. Act 1607 is a place where I would have been able to get credit towards my high school graduation with Girls Taking Action. I am not the only one who struggled with motivation in school. There's a national study of 66,000 high school and middle schoolers from the Booking Institute that reported less than half of the students felt motivated to learn. Less than one-third felt like they had what they had was needed to learn and relevant outside of the class. Only one-third felt that they had a say over what happened to them during school, and one-third were able to develop their own school ideas. By high school, only 29% said that they loved going to school, which is a problem. House File 1607 would give Minnesotan high schools flexibility to uncover new pathways for learning that meet students' needs where they are. For this bill would help students like me and many others towards shaping a better future for us. Thank you. I respectfully request you to join your support for Bill 1607. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And next we have Keith, who is a senior at Camden High School. And please note that a testifier does not need to say their last name if they are a minor. That's your choice. So Keith, go ahead and introduce yourself and begin.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. My name is Keith Blassingame, and actually I'm a senior at Volunteers of America High School. It's an alternative high school. But I'd like to explain how House File 1607 would expand learning opportunities for students like me. I'm very interested in skilled trades like plumbing, welding, and mechanics. I'd also like to learn practical entrepreneurship and business skills. These areas are exciting and motivating to me. I wish I would have had the chance to learn them through supervised credit earning apprenticeships and internships. The high school I attended until last month, Minneapolis Camden, offers career technical and engineering classes. The problem was I couldn't take them currently. CTE courses only count towards elective credits. So for students like me who are behind on credits, taking CTE classes might have prevented me from graduating on time. Some students also want more hands-on real-world trade experiences. My friend Previon is enrolled in a respected community-based skilled trades program called Urban Ventures that is held after school hours. But even Previon wasn't able to earn academic credit towards graduation despite everything he learned. Many students aren't very motivated by our high school experiences. Often we don't get the chance to learn skills that directly support our career goals. Take a look at attendance rates. At Minneapolis Camden High School, only 31% of all students and just 16% of African American students attend school consistently, according to the state of Minnesota. House File 1607 would give Minnesota high schools the flexibility to offer more relevant credit earning educational experiences, including those outside of the traditional school day. By broadening the definition of hours of instruction, this bill would help students access high-quality supervised learning opportunities, such as apprenticeships, internships, and project-based learning. More motivated students means more Minnesota young people staying in school on track to reach our potential. I urge you to support House File 1607 to ensure students like me can gain the hands-on experience we need to succeed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have two remote testifiers. Patrick Walsh, Superintendent. Superintendent Walsh, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, thank you. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair Bennett. My name is Patrick Walsh, Superintendent at Belgrade Brut and El Rosa. I am a 27-year school administrator. I was a principal for 24 years, and I've been a superintendent for the last seven. Four of those were combined superintendent and principal. I want to shout out to the the testifiers, Jose, the students, Superintendent Cornet, and Representative Clardy. There's some outstanding stuff there, and I'm not going to repeat some of those things. They're too good. The one thing I'm going to highlight, though, is in my experience as an administrator, can you imagine what happens when a student has voice and choice, an informed choice, and a true choice in what they're going to take? All the things that we're talking about when it comes to student engagement basically come from the idea that the more you fall behind, the less chance you have of taking things that are interesting to your future. And it really is backwards. Particularly in small schools and in rural schools, we don't have as many curricular offerings in small schools. And certainly when kids get into the ALC environment, they actually get less choice than they ever had. So House File 1607 advances the opportunity for local school districts to have more tools to personalize learning and to help with student engagement and innovation. And I would also add, again, this type of innovation costs nothing. We had a term that we developed when I was administrator is that we talked about absences. We also have something that's more actually, you know, deleterious to a kid's future, and that's unexcused presences. Kids that are there, but they're certainly not engaged. And so anything that we can do to tilt that in the favor of school districts and students to do will certainly help us with that cause. Please support House File 1607.
Thank you. And another remote testifier, we have Michael Scott. Are you with us, Michael?
Yes. All right. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee. My name is Michael Scott. I am the Director of Teaching and Learning at the Hutchinson Public School District. I've been in this position for 8 years, but I've been an administrator, finishing 15. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of House File 1607 today. I believe the maximum flexibility and innovation of educational experiences and the teaching of our standards and benchmarks for our students doesn't always happen in the best possible way during a typical 7 to 3 p.m. or 8 to 4 p.m. day, particularly for our secondary students, and you heard some of that testimony today. A brief example from here in Hutchinson, one of our former teachers of meteorology and astronomy in the past provided students an authentic experience in the evening to view the sky, the stars, which wouldn't be the same in the classroom on a screen or with handouts versus in person. By that teacher providing that experience, obviously it was very authentic, but it was outside the day because it was at night. However, that wouldn't have counted as instructional time based on not having that clarity, which that would probably be a very authentic experience for them to have. So House File 1607 would allow for this experience and others like it, which would allow, I believe, creativity and authenticity from our teachers to expand on that for our students and for that to be considered instructional time, which is, again, different from the traditional seat time that we might be all used to. This could provide, again, that opportunity for our students and teachers to expand on what they're learning is. As this instructional time is clarified, I do believe that our teachers will continue to innovate, knowing that those type of opportunities could be available for their students and then also for our community. We have many schools have, but we have what's called Tiger Path Academies that we are really reaching out in our communities to be giving authentic experiences to our students. And it's really been engaging to provide that time for our students, which, again, may not always happen during that instructional day. And if this could count for instructional time, that would definitely benefit our students. So the clarity that this would provide, that House File 1607 would provide to our school districts and our teachers, in my opinion, would expand what is possible to be even more authentic experiences for our students. And I thank you for your time for me to testify today.
Thank you, and thank you to all the testifiers. That concludes our public testimony. We'll go into member discussion and Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
Representative Clardy, I just emailed you and put my name on the bill. Like, can't love this more. I know last year we had a long conversation about this, and we talked about seat time, and we had this discussion about how seat time doesn't exist anywhere in statute. And look at all the things we can already do. This bill, combined with Representative Bakebird's bill, really is the sweet sauce right here. Being able to actually find something that is in statute and define it, giving more flexibility, having all the things that you already can do in statute put in one place, like they have with Representative Bakebird's bill, I think really is going to unlock a lot of innovation for our kids and for our teachers. We've both been in the classroom for a long time. Representative Hill been in the classroom, I believe Representative Faulkner, Keeler. We've all been in the classroom, and we know how our teachers want to connect with their kids, and this gives them that ability to do that in a way that is just such a nimble response to what we're seeing in our community. And so I just think this is the type of transformational work that we get to do, especially as we look at, and the superintendent from, oh my gosh, why can't I find it? St. Louis Park, I think, or St. Anthony. St. Anthony, the 1900s is calling and they want your structure back. And I was like, yes, please. and that's the truth. Like, there's no other place in our industries where it's created, you know, in the 1800s, right? And yet it looks, yeah, we have more technology and we have different, blah, blah, but it looks the same, right? With the same class layout and the same desks and the whatever. And no other industry survives without innovation and being able to look at things differently. And this is now finally a way for us to kind of remove a little bit of bureaucratic stuff so that we're able to do that. So thank you, Representative Clardy, for not giving up and for working together with Keeler and Bakeberg and all the others so that we can provide something really transformational for our schools. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Bennett, and thank you, Representative Clardy, for bringing the bill. Hey, I wanted to share that I'm excited to learn more, and I am going to be supportive of the bill here in committee. I do have one concern that I want to talk further about, you, and we can maybe start that here and continue it online. But I've seen firsthand, both in the setting where I serve the students and families that I am privileged to work with, and also in my educational experiences. I wrote my dissertation on a teacher-powered school that was based on personalized learning experience. And what I saw was in real time that these learning experiences, when they're relevant, leads to deep learning every single time. And so I'm excited to support here today. But my one concern is this. I want to have confidence. I still have a lingering concern that these experiences won't be made available to all of the students in a school district or in a charter school, for example. And I want to have assurances that that we can make sure this happens, and that there is a structure in place to enforce that it does happen if we go down this path. And so I look forward to more conversation and the next stop in education finance, I believe. Thank you, and you're welcome to respond, but just a comment either way.
Representative Clardy, any comments?
Just that, thank you for your comment, and I look forward to working with you further on it.
Thank you. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Clardy. I don't think it's any secret that I really nerd out when it comes to attendance. And so since we have the statute open in front of us, I do just want to make a statement about Minnesota and our instruction time. To be clear, in Minnesota, we only require 165 days, which is actually second lowest in the nation next to Colorado. Most schools require 180 days. And so I think I want to point that out because it means that in Minnesota, our kids have less time to be engaged. And so we need to increase the likelihood that when they're engaged in things that ignite them to a glimpse of what their future can really be. I think education is designed to be this viewpoint of what you can expand yourself to turn into. And so I love what this idea is doing. I love being really effective with our time. I would kind of echo what Representative Hill has mentioned, because these are great opportunities for the students who can participate. One of the areas is line 2.1 on the second page of the bill. It says that these have to be qualified or verified by a qualified teacher. I think to lean to some more opportunities, we could explore liaisons or support staffs, particularly like Indian education. One of the things that, and I'm going to look at Representative Lawrence, one of the stories that we really heard in our study group was about ricing. And the importance of ricing up in our northern tribes, and how that is critical to their educational experience. But it's done more in a cultural component. And if we required it to be partnered with a teacher only, we live in a teacher shortage world right now. And so maybe expanding what staff and designees within a school could participate in this with students would increase the likelihood of individuals who could participate, or the expansion of what we could do. I think that it's great. I think that honestly, Bakeberg talks about his three R's all the time. Do you remember them? See, team effort, right? Okay, but the point is, right, is that this leans right into that, and that when we, it takes one moment with one person, with one student, to really ignite what their potential can be. And I do believe that it happens in situations like this, not just sitting in a classroom, oversized, you know, our teachers are really stressed. I also just think the opportunity to get outside and learn. As a native learner, we learn best in nature. We learn best from our elders. We learn best in the environments around us. And so I really like the opportunity to just change the walls of education. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative DePelt.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Clardy. And I completely agree. I really appreciate this bill. And I want to commend the last two student testifiers also. I found myself in a similar situation going to school. I barely graduated high school because I found myself really disinterested in a lot of the structure that existed. And I really longed to get outside of the classroom, to be hands-on, to learn something that I thought, this is going to make a difference when I get older. This is going to go towards what I want to do with my career. So thank you so much for that testimony. I truly identified with just about everything that you were saying, and really, really appreciate this bill to get outside the walls of the school too and help these kids think outside those bounds.
Hey, Lee Jordan, any final comments for you?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a great bill. Thank you for working on it, Representative Cardi, and I renew my motion to send House File 1607 to the Education Finance Committee.
Okay, and I just will make a couple comments, too. Representative Clardy, thank you for carrying this, and Representative Bakeberg, before you, too. I'm excited about both of these bills, and I think, you know, our schools are stuck in this paradigm of seat time. And I saw it when I taught grade school, and it's even tougher at the high school level because they need that innovation. And I'm excited for schools with this, because I believe that if schools are freed up and educated on different types of innovation, they're going to do it if they hear it works. And the we had this example of just conferences, having conferences at different times and allowing, you know, parents who have different shifts to be able to attend. I remember in Albert Lee, we took that on. It used to always be during the school day, and you'd get those parents who couldn't show up. Well, we worked for 12 hours one day, and then we got a half a day off somewhere else. But that, I believe, through, you know, word of mouth. So one component that I would love to see in whatever we end up with here for innovation bill, seat time and so on, is perhaps MDE creating a website where it could just have a single blurb on this school district or this school is doing such and such innovation, because schools can go to that site and say, hey, I want to try something different with attendance, or I want to try something different with the trades. See what other schools are doing it and communicate with them. That's having that communication is extremely important. And Representative Hill, I think that would help address your question that districts do this, because I think they will. They will do this if they hear it works, and they'll take these things on. I'm excited to empower them. So thank you, and I will let you close first, and then we'll re-refer your bill.
Wonderful. This bill is very powerful. What I feel right now is it's giving districts the clarity of what instructional hours can be, right? Doesn't keep them in the box. It deals with forward thinking. The other thing is it's student-centered, and we always say that we want our schools to be student-centered. This is an example. You heard all the experts, so I don't really need to say more. Beyond that, I did listen to your comments. I did make some notes, and I'm going to call on all of you that gave suggestions on actually helping to improve this as it goes forward. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Representative Clardy. And Representative Jordan renews the motion that House File 1607 be re-referred to the Education Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The motion prevails, and House File 1607 is referred to the Education Finance Committee. So, members, that concludes our today's agenda. Thank you for the great work. What a team we are. We started late, got done early. Oh, if the audience could settle down just a little bit. We're not quite done. Thank you, thank you. So next week, operations of the committee will shift while we welcome a new member. I'm looking forward to working with Co-Chair Jordan. And as we fast approach the first and second committee deadlines, I know we're going to continue to be an amazing team together, get lots of work done. So with that, our next meeting will be Tuesday, March 18th, and the committee stands adjourned.